just look upon the page of your Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And the record of these things was established in the book so that we, when we look upon it in every nation or generation, there will be a testimony that we will see in the book. And that will make us understand the state of our heart and the bearing of our motivation. The Bible, speaking about faith, proceeded further to give some tangible examples of mighty men that rose up, that had a conviction from God, and the things that they were able to achieve. How that men like Samson, like Gideon, like Barak, were able to overturn kingdoms and to effect the course of righteousness, where they escaped the edge of the sword, that they quenched the violence of fire, they stopped even the mouth of fiery lions. And when you read that part of the story, is so heroic, so mighty, full of masculinity. But when you proceed in the reading, I know most times we don't get to read that far. Hallelujah. When we got to the book of Hebrews 11 from verse 36, you begin to see that the names of these guys were not mentioned. Because they and others, indicative of the fact that he was not making reference to the list that was earlier extended to us. He was talking about a different category. The testimony of their faith was not in anything heroic, any heroic action. It was not that they ran through a troop or took a city or conquered a nation. The testimony of their faith was not that they had anything in the realm of the natural to show as a proof of the fact that mighty conviction was lurking in their hearts. You see, something happened to my voice while I talked to Jesus yesterday night. So, okay, amen. Hey. Hallelujah. Their names were not mentioned. That means that in the archives of God, in the documentary of God's hallmark of faith, people that stood in the gates and prevent and restrain the enemy, men that stopped the rider of reckless wickedness in their time. Amongst them, there's a secret chronicle of people that their names were not concealed, their identity was not revealed. Because the depth of passion and the depth of manifestation was priceless. Their faith was like a burning light. The things that they manifested based upon the conviction that the Holy Spirit furnished in their heart was unthinkable. The Bible says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging. And when we look upon this thing, every time we think about faith and standing for God, it's always that faith is a currency by which we receive things from the realm of the Spirit. Okay? Faith is like a receiving instrument. And every time your senses are lacking the natural, you hook up on the instrument of faith and you hike into the realm. And you download things from heaven. You download things from God. But these ones had nothing in the natural to show as a testimony of the fact that they were in tune with God and they were men of faith. In fact, their story was not so heroic because their case was a case of scourgings. They bled and cried out of pain. They wanted to break them to submit to the will of the world system. But their faith was priceless. It was not fueled by anything in the earth. It could not be comprehended from the tangent of the mind of man. Why these guys could not be subdued.
there was a hidden element, power, that was raging on their inside that even darkness could not discover. And the excellency and the brilliance of their performance in standing with God, in manifesting their loyalty to God, demanded that their names should be concealed. I speak of the secret book of the lampstands. Illuminaries, mighty luminaries in their time. Their lives was a proof of their conviction. Their death was a proof of their conviction. They preferred to die than to be broken by weakness, to submit to that which was a lie. The manifestation of the story of their faith was told by cruel trials and scourging. And it could not get to the nerve end of their passion and conviction. The Bible says such men were men of whom the world was not worthy. They had pledged their allegiance. When we talk about love, loving the Father, at any point in time where there is divided loyalty, it means that something has infringed upon the territory of your heart. Adam never knew that he was the living gate and the living wall that was supposed to be an embankment for Eden. He was the living wall to guard against exit and entrance into Eden, because Eden had no wall. And so the Bible also says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the boundaries of life. There is an Eden that has been given to you to keep, just like Adam failed in the garden, because Eden had no boundary. And Adam didn't know that he was the living boundary. He had been made a brazen wall and a pillar within that territory to safeguard it, to keep it, and to secure it. And it's so subtle to the activity of darkness, how he locks around and ultimately gets to find a place within the heart, and an idol is erected. And when that idol is erected, that idol fights with the place of God. And when there's divided loyalty, you are a danger to the army that you are part of, because in the day of battle you can fall upon a man from your clan. When we did not know the ways of the kingdom, those days were moved by zeal, and in our escapade we carried people in our battle formation that did not believe what we were doing. It was a day that Satan fell on us that we knew that our strength was small. The hearts have been fragmented. Satan had entered the camp and it was rotting havoc. But these were men of whom the world was not worthy. I could imagine Jesus looking upon them from heaven. He had to stand and give them a standing ovation like Stephen. Because when Stephen was being stoned to death, on the account of his faith, the Bible says his eyes were enlightened and he saw heaven and the Son of Man stood. Men of whom the world was not one. But the Christianity of our day and time has more questions than answers. People are just carrying along, not because there's any conviction. Let's just go, because if we stop going, so many questions. We have gone too far to turn back now. Even though we don't know where we're going, we just... If that's the measurement of the weight that you carry in the midst of pressure, you will deny Jesus. I was in Kano when the riot broke out. Then it became obvious that we had no strength. And our hearts, first of all, we didn't believe our God. And in the midst of crisis, you also know that many people you call brother, actually, are not operating within the true culture of the spirit of the brotherhood.
the world was not worthy. Oh, their heroic acts was revealed in the fact that they walked naked with goat skins and sheep clothing. They were disconnected from civilization, pushed out into the wilderness to die from the cold and wind if they did not bow down to the God that was roaring like a mighty octopus in the earth. King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. And God is able to deliver us. And just in case he decides not to, let it be known to you that every drop of blood that comes out of our veins will testify that Jesus is Lord. If we rise up like that, Islam will go back. When they killed and killed and killed, and then we now say, all right, let all of us die. Let's all die. Oh, you want to kill? Oh, we want to die. In the midst of a little pressure, then you know that all your confession, all the things you said when you worship was a lie. Just a little pressure. After youth service, and then the time is extended, you wanted to put your hand upon some employment so that you could have a cash flow quadrant around your life, but somehow several things did not go the way you planned, and you look up one Wednesday morning and say, alas master, carest not thou that we perish. It's an indication of the fact that there's an infirmity locking in your heart, and an idol has been lifted up. Men like Daniel never prayed to God and said, God, so many people have children to their name. We don't have children. We have been castrated. Never did he do that. And when he was old in age, he still came back to prophesy. And when his prophecy came to pass, and the kings of Persia and Medes came and took over Babylon, and the restoration eventually took place in the time of Xerxes, and a proclamation was made for Israel to go back, and everybody was going back, Daniel said, my place is here. Whoa! Men of whom the world was not worthy. It's either that we are wasting time doing nothing, and God too is tired. Say, okay, let's all die and come and meet him. Or that today something will shift in our hearts. Men of whom the world was not worthy. And the Christianity we profess is that which drives in a jeep, and it comes out all polished. For the excellency of the faith of the founding fathers, men that gave their lives to preserve the pure perspective of God, and their faith was revealed in martyrdom. But today we believe that it's the ultimate agenda of God, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Many times, if these guys will come back to the earth again and look upon us, it will be difficult for them to identify our God. I don't think it's the same God. Something had entered, and idols have been raised. I came here not with a message today, but I came with a prayer. Yeah, if after this prayer the Holy Spirit does not speak, we'll go today. Emmanuel. Do you realize how many times we deny Jesus in a day? Do you realize it? How many times? You were the one that set your phone at 12 midnight. I'm going to leap up like a kangaroo, and I'm going to tell Jesus, I'm here. Oh my God. And when the phone began to blow out, it's alive. Your flesh found a way of navigating. You knew what each button meant. which one was snooze, which one was stop. You knew how to navigate. And for 25 days, you couldn't wake up to call upon him. You denied him. Because he was making advances at you. He was the one that moved you to set the time. And that's why the Bible says, if the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith? He spoke about the days of Acts of the Apostles that they were faithless and a perverse generation. They have accepted that which is wrong to be right and that which is right to be wrong. And that kind of day comes when our loyalty to God is in question. In the day of battle, a man that is disloyal to his king becomes a threat to the members of his clan. I don't know the state of your heart today, but we need to cry. We need to cry. It's only you that can tell the story that is of your heart, the nature, the configuration, the texture, what you truly live for, what your talents are for, what your money is for. You don't need to wait another 25 years for you to know that most often our lives did not give glory to God. And the church have been allowed to drink a wine of drunkenness that has deadened our spiritual senses, such that the locking cry of Christ is no longer popular. I said yesterday, if you are wise, you will know that a knock on the door will not last forever. Can we pray today and ask for help this night? Help. If all you want to do is to solve your problems, you will never get out of problems. You will keep solving, and you think you are intelligent. Learn from those that found favor with God in times of hope. Learn. No matter what, I will walk with you. No matter what, help me walk with you. And I will walk with you.
I will walk with you. Help me walk with you.
Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and in goatskin, being destitute, afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Many times we forget our status with God. What exactly is your status with God? By what definition does God know you? What have you used your time, your sweat? What do you really believe in? The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Sit down. Let me explain. I think some people do not understand. Ezekiel chapter 14. Let me just try to explain. Because today God must do a surgery upon our hearts. Something more definite needs to happen today. Are you with me in the book of Ezekiel chapter 14? The center of our interest in this conference is that place, that circumference called your heart. Which kind of government is established upon that heart? Ezekiel 14. Let me begin to read from verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Shall I be inquired of at all by them? Now these guys actually came to consult God. They came to the prophet as if they wanted to seek the face of God. Just like many believers come to church today. Coming to church to seek the face of God. But unfortunately, God does not look upon how articulate your utterance is. He looks upon the movements upon your heart. And from the perspective from whence he views things, he is capable of seeing your motive and your motivation. He is capable of seeing the very foundation of everything that you do, say, and don't do. He is capable of even seeing the things that you don't get to say, but you say them within the scope of your heart. Hallelujah. Then he said to the prophet that he came to consult, all these guys standing before you have idols in their hearts. Alright? Now meanwhile, they were speaking several things that were different from the posture of the idols. As if they loved God, they wanted to consult with God. It is only when the world system has been exalted, has found a place of attachment and attraction, and there it has also found a hidden lust within our hearts to be pegged upon, then it gains the mastery over our hearts, and then the government of that lust begins to control our hearts. I was teaching in a preparatory class, and I was making the brethren that came for that class to understand that. When we talk about temptation, what exactly is temptation? First of all, temptation is null and void if there is no lust inside of your heart that the temptation is going to be pegged upon. And you can be browsing on the internet and a pornographic website just pops up, and you look upon it. If there is no lust in that regard in your heart, that pop-up will not mean anything to you. There's no attraction. That's what Jesus meant when he said that the prince of this world cometh, he found nothing in me. My heart, I had these products that he advertised before my face. There was none of his products that had any affinity with my heart, because all of my heart was God's. And so in order for the devil to be able to pin you down and peg you down by temptation, he must have tried a lot of his products, because he doesn't know what exactly is upon your heart. So he must have tried so many products, and then he got the product that was in compatibility with the lust that was in your heart. Without a lust in your heart, temptation doesn't go by free course. Doesn't have a way of entrance. That lust in your heart that is superior to your love for God is what the Bible calls an idol. Because if that lust is present upon your heart, it will determine the way you talk, it will determine your drive, it will determine your interest, it will determine the way you do everything. That supreme lust, that is the ultimate thing upon your heart, even stronger than God, it will determine how you do your things, and it will eventually get God out of your equation. Now, I know, let me break it down. Now, a preacher that has this love for money, a mighty lust for money, you will see it in his ministration. Even the endowment of grace that God puts upon him becomes a platform for merchandise. Hallelujah. Everything is driven in that direction. Just because that lust is there. That lust is going to affect everything. You put a price tag on counseling. And somebody comes and you move in the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, this is your problem. That's your problem. You say, alright. The truth is, go back. There's an offering basket there. And as you walk out of the door, everything becomes privatized and commercialized. And if you trace it, there is an idol there in the heart that is elevated. And even the Holy Spirit doesn't have authority sufficient to be able to rebuke him about that idol that will make sense to him, because it is a fortress, a fortified place. It's a no-go area. If you were to walk upon his heart and you get there, you say, keep up. And that's how the average believer is. He comes to church with pressure. He's under pressure to present something to his generation. His family members have been looking down on him, and he wants to come out like a star. Something that will shake, something that will redefine him and regain his image and masculinity. So he does not think anything about the purpose of God for his life and that which will give God glory if he commits himself to. But he's more conscious of how people view him. And unknown to him, he is actually suffering from an infirmity of the heart. An idol has found a place there. And surprisingly, people that have this kind of idols upon their hearts still come to church, just like they came to the prophet to consult him to know the will of God and the mind of God. Meanwhile, they came with idols. So believers are used to coming to God full of idols and still worshiping. I will follow you. God knows that our worship is prone to deception, so he doesn't pick our worship from our lips. He picks it directly. He plugs his cable directly to the heart. And when you are saying, I will follow, what actually is in the heart equation? Is that, you see, I need your help to help me fulfill this desire. Without, if not that, I can't do it myself. I won't come to you. But I need you now. Come on. Let's do this. I was told that if I come to you, you can help me solve my problem. So, well, I have a problem. I don't want to know you. I don't care about you. But I heard you have power. Let's see. I came for business. I will follow it. And the pastor might get deceived because somebody is crying in the process. Meanwhile, it's the bitterness that is coming out of the heart because of the sense of depravity that the person feels in the absence of the things the person desires. And unknown to the person, is under the rulership and dominion of the cosmocrator. That being has found a way to put him under lock and key. He lives in that cubicle of deception. And that's what he spends 25 years, 45 years doing. I will follow. And his life doesn't strike a chord anywhere. Helps you waste your time. And when you have finished wasting your time, and you stand before God, and your template is drawn out, you see you didn't touch anything in the archive. Your life for the 87 years you lived was the first statement of your call. You didn't touch it. Because you were preoccupied. Alright, let's go to 1 John. Because if I quote this scripture to you in the book of Ezekiel, many people will say, well, this Old Testament. And let's check it out. Let's check it out. In 1 John chapter 5, in 1 John 5:21, it says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. This is Apostle John speaking. And this is the prophetic apostle. He came to a point where God put some grace upon his life that he could pick what was upon the heart of men. And he saw that the congregation that he was writing to, he categorized that congregation as a congregation of little children. Alright? So if there's still an idol in your heart that has taken the better part of you and has drawn you away from God, John is addressing you as a little child. You have not yet come to understand the deep things of the kingdom that you have been called to. And that's why you don't understand that every minute you have is a privilege. It was loaned to you. It's a loan. It was loaned to you. That by that loan, you'll be able to do God's service. And suddenly, we become so conscious of what we feel about ourselves and how we can use our stuff for ourselves and all of that. Even if you get to live for 120 years, you'll not stay here forever. Because the Bible said that the war passed away. And then you come to discover that all you live for has no meaning. And that's why we had to open the book of Ecclesiastes yesterday. And the subject of the book of Ecclesiastes, and he was a man that was doing a research within the old creation. Every adornment and attraction in the old creation, he did not separate himself from. And he gave us a good judgment of almost everything that the world has to offer. Is the epitome of wealth and riches and stardom within the context of humanity. And his own testimony about all of his experience is that the old creation contains vanity and emptiness, and it unfolds into higher degrees of vanity and emptiness. The point at which the world gains a connection with us, a point of where it finds our lust. Are you with me? Now that's why. Are you still here? So, and I began to say yesterday that if we transit from the book of Ecclesiastes to the book of Songs of Solomon, vanity upon vanity, emptiness upon emptiness, then Songs of Solomon is Song of Songs, satisfaction upon satisfaction. So it's a transition from vanity toward satisfaction. And the hallmark of that satisfaction is that you find so much ventilation on your inside such that the Christ in you begins to sing the song of songs. It is the song that a bridegroom sings to his bride. And when he begins to take you out of the dust and drag you out of the flesh and drag you from the point of commitment to yourself and bring you to devotion and faithfulness to him, as he drags you out of the mud, there's a song he sings. That's what Solomon captured in the book of Songs of Solomon as the song of what? Of songs. 1,005 songs he sang. We do not have access to the lyrics of each of the songs. But one song that he sang, and he named that song, a song above every song that he has written. He called it the Song of Songs. That's not the song of a man, but the song of the Spirit. And if we move deeply to understand the implication of that phrase, Song of Songs, you come to realize that in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, the Bible speaks about a cherub. It's an anointed cherub. In the way he was fashioned, in the way he was fabricated, music was placed upon his framework. Because the Bible talks about the tablets and the pipes that were indeed in the day that thou was created. And if you know music at all, I learned a little of it. And I used to play the staff. I used to play from the staff those days. The bass clef and the treble clef. I could read the staff. So I studied music technically. To the extent to which I went, by the grace of God. And the summation of music is string and wind instruments. Somebody says string and wind instruments. Now you spoke without life. You see, we're in the house of God. Even if the scripture is hitting you like bullets, release your spirit for ventilation as I ask you to respond to me. Hallelujah. I know the meditations of your heart are numerous now. And there's a war on your inside. The idols are fighting. they need to retain their memory and worship somehow. And so there's dullness. I understand that. It's a battle. But I pray Jesus will win today. Jesus needs to win today. Hallelujah. Now this is a string instrument. Now just strike a chord, please. The keyboard is a string instrument. Can you hit that drum? I want to teach music now. Hallelujah. Now if we put this drum in a vacuum and you hit it, there will be no sound, because it needs wind for sound to come out. Hallelujah. Those instruments that need wind to transmit their sound are wind instruments. They are dependent on what? Wind. There are several other instruments that are dependent on what? The string. Strike a chord. Any other thing you do to that instrument will not produce no sound. And the Bible says that in the day that Lucifer was created, there were instruments of music fabricated upon his frame. He had wind instruments. He had string instruments. He didn't need to strike a chord. If he makes a move, music comes out of it. And the Bible says that he was the anointed cherub. That means in his agenda and in his operation, he gained some anointing because of his proximity to God. The word anoint means to smear upon. That's what you do when you want to rub cream upon your body. And when you walk out of your room, your body begins to smell the perfume of the cream and not of your body. And that's what happens when God rubs himself upon us. He retains some of his abilities over our lives. And sometimes we can stand and know things that only God can know. Sometimes we can stand and do only things that only God can do by reason of the perfume of God that we carry. He was called the anointed cherub. Not just an anointed cherub. He was what? The. And so when he comes to God, by the anointing that he has upon him, he can discern God's mood. He can discern the way God is feeling. And then he creates the sound that is most accurately suited for that feeling. He was the cherub that covered it. That's what the Bible says. So God needs that guy around him every time. And that's why among all the angels in their ranks and files, he was the highest in the order of angels. And each cherub, not angel, but each cherub was made with a design in mind. Because cherubs were high beings of glory that were created to protect God's glory. Seraphims are high beings of glory that were created to protect God's holiness. So when we talk cherubs, they are high class entities. I don't care how many visions you see, but not too many people see a cherub. Not too many. Not too many. You need to be very intimate with God to be given a vision of a cherub. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah saw a vision of God's holiness, and that's why the beings that were in that cloud were seraphims. But in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1, we see that Ezekiel sees a vision of God's glory, and then that was where his communication, his ability to communicate, the depth of his communication failed him in trying to describe what he saw. When he tried and failed many times, he said this was the likeness of the glory of God. So cherubs are always associated with the glory of God. And every cherub was created with a specific design in mind. Because every cherub actually was an evangelist of God. Was proclaiming God in a particular dimension of his existence. Are you with me here? Oh my God. No two cherubs are the same. Each cherub advertises and evangelizes a dimension of God's mystery. And these dimensions are revealed in their names. And so Lucifer was called the light bearer, because it was him that gave advertisement to the luminous nature of God. The Bible speaks and says God dwells in a light. In fact, it says God is light, and in him there is what? No darkness at all. And the Bible also says that God dwells in a light. He is light that dwells in light. I know your mind can't pick that, so don't try to use your mind to accept you. You experience it, you don't know it. A life that dwells where? In light. And Lucifer was that cherub that was created to advertise the light of God. And so when you see him glow, Falakopa, he was full of everything you want to see. He had everything you admire. The Bible calls him the anointed cherub. And when he moves around, music looms out of him. Music of worship. Music that gives glory to God. When he comes into the courts of God, the place is illuminated, not just by the light he carries, but by the song that he brings. That song can bring about tranquility. Have you been hit by several praises of life and you walked in somewhere, the right song was moving around and tranquilizing the place, and when you got into the place, you felt healed? Jesus. In my distress and in my pains, 2 weeks ago, a medical practitioner told me, "Say, Pastor, please go back, buy a tape, and put the best music you like, and play it, and just lie down." Jesus. The therapy that was recommended was what? Music. And it helps your mind to go back to square one. It takes away all the divergent coalition of meditation. All the distortions of your meditation are aligned and synchronized. And suddenly, like one being, one entity, you let go. Jesus. He was that being that brought stability in the heavens. And when he shows up, everything takes its balance. The Bible says that he was perfect in beauty. And when God says perfect, it's not what you call perfect. Just like when God says wonder, it's not what you know in the dictionary. That word is pala. It's an unfolding stream of wonder. Do you realize that in God there is no end? It's a perpetual continuum. In his trafficking and operation, there's no altercation, there's no truncation. He just keeps proceeding from himself. He keeps proceeding in different dimensions, different frames of reference. And he glows with glory. And that's why the angels in the courts of God keep bowing down to him and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. For the whole earth is filled with your glory." It happened to be this cherub that fell, the light bearer. The bearer of sound. And so in the book of Psalms chapter 8, the Bible says it was an angelic debate. Angels came to God and began to question him. "What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visit him?" He never knew the secret and the covenant that God had with man. Because that music that was coming out of Lucifer, that he fell with, and he was bereaved of his glorified body. Are you with me now? That music was transferred into his recreated people. So that Christ in us begins to sing the songs of songs. And we replace that light bearer. And that's the secret that God has between God and man. That when we find compatibility and find rest in his law, the songs of God begin to scream on our inside. That's what Solomon wrote about. And he said, "This song I wrote, I did not write by the hands of man. It's a testimony about God. And I call it the Song of Songs." And in the 8 chapters of that book, he speaks about the 4 dimensions of the love of God that God is dragging us into. Because as he drags his bride from the mud, drags his bride from the flesh, drags his bride from self, drags his bride behind the veil, he sings a song. The only way we can be delivered from the world is that we yield to the love of God. For the Bible says, if any man, you know, that's not a congregational charge, it's what? It's a personal charge. If what? If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. And for those of us that did mathematics, I want to take you back to secondary school. That means that the love for the world, the love for God are inversely proportional. If you have the love of the world, you don't have the love of God. If you have the love of God, you don't have what? Love of the world. And the only way we can be delivered from the love of the world is that we yield to what? We need time to talk about the love of God. And that's why, have you realized that most often in the music ministry, the devil attacks the choir and begins to manifest himself from the choir? That's why the choir should be the strictest place. If you are not sure of your call, don't join the choir. Hallelujah. Ah, you are not with me. You see, I don't know what's happening. He must want to manifest from there. Hallelujah. That's where he wants to come. Because when he hears them sing, he remembers his days on the Holy Mount. When he walked up and down and to and fro within the coals of fire. And as he walked in the fire purified him. It was like a gem. If you put gold in fire, it would come out brighter. Oh my God. When God revealed that personality to me, in his former glory, Lucifer, the light bearer, he was a sight indeed. And even today, the Bible says he still transforms himself to what? To be an angel of light. And the word used there is metamorpho. That's the kind of the transition of mosquito from pupa to what? Lava. I don't have time today to adult. Do you realize that TB Joshua has gone through transformation? He was on pupa level. Then a time came, his long beard blended out. Then good coils now came. And then he worked on his English. Because he can transform. If you want to know his true story, go back to his original state. And get his CDs when he was an Aladura man. You will know that he operates with familiar spirits. Because he transformed. We saw him change. His name is Fatai. That's his real name. Let me not go far. But you see, he transforms himself. Metaschizomato is the other word for transform. That one is an inner transformation. The devil is not capable of that. He can't be born again. Only God can do that one. If you have traveled out to some big cities before, see the place so compact. Good roads. I'm not talking about the ones in Nigeria. There's no city like that in Nigeria. No, Abuja is developing. I'm talking about if you hit the road in Dubai, hit the road. There's no pothole. Hallelujah. Have you seen a city without pothole? You are not with me. And then you might look upon that city and say, my God, because of the infrastructure, say, my God, this is where I want to stay. This is where I want to be. If you stay there long enough, the darkness in that place will touch you. Because that is metamorpho. It's an external change. It didn't come from inside. And I tell you, there's a national transformation that is taking place in this country. He's working on the system, working inside. That one is schizomato. He's building the change from where? From within, not from what? Without. So the devil's change is inside, transforms outside. And when the world is garnishing you and transforming you, it transforms you how? Outside. But when God wants to transform me, transform me from where? By the Song of Songs. That's the difference. Can we join it? I said the first phase of the first set of revelations that come to us about that romantic dimension of love that God has for us that is revealed in the book of Songs of Solomon. And I said yesterday, I don't want you to forget it. That if Songs of Solomon does not focus on the church as a corporate entity, but it focuses on an individual in the body of Christ, and how God can lead the entire universe and come to you as if you were the only being that existed upon the face of the earth. It's a personal thing. It's something that goes on. It's something that happens with you that is exclusive to you. Because God wants to be original to you. He wants you to know him personally, originally. The texture of his dealings with you, he wants it to be different from me. So that you can give him the name that is most suiting for your own experience of him. If you have not yet come to a point where you can give your God a name, then you don't know him. Because it was David that said, the Lord is my... That's an inward revelation. An experiential dimension of his touch with God. And that is always within the confines of your heart. And God has a mighty problem with us. Because of our propensity to love everything else but him. Hallelujah. So he takes the lead in drawing us close to him. Takes the lead. So you will see in Songs of Solomon chapter 1, verse 2, you see, he said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. First of all, a kiss is something that is special. He's the one that is making the advances. He comes to you and does some things to you so that you know that you are valuable in his sight. He can even do a quick miracle just to testify about the fact that he's interested in you, to get your attention, and to know that maybe you are an anonymous person in your family. Your parents didn't plan to give birth to you. You just showed up on Friday. No plan. Tried to kill you with some drugs. That the number they prayed for had come. And you were bubbling on the inside. And the drugs failed. And you showed up in the night, 2 a.m. And ever since then, you have grown up. And you have not seen the warmth of love. Jehovah will come to you as if he left the whole world. And he focuses upon you. And he stays long enough for you to know that he is attempting something. It means he wants to catch your attention. And I said it yesterday, that little knock on your heart, that little voice you hear, if you are wise, you will know it will not last forever. So some virgins don't get to respond to his kisses. And then after his kisses, the second thing he mentions in that scripture is about his name that is like ointment poured forth. I would have gone to the book of Exodus chapter 30 and read from verse 25, where I show you that when the anointing oil was being made, and I hope you know that the anointing oil there is indicative of Christ as the life-giving spirit. Where people that have been coming to school, they know that there were two becomings of Christ. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And Christ became a life-giving spirit. In incarnation, he became flesh. In resurrection, he became a life-giving spirit. So the anointing oil is indicative, is a type of Christ as what? The life-giving spirit. Because they thought that they killed Christ, but the only thing they did was to set him free and to transform him and transpose him to a form where he was spirit and he was boundless and without limitation, so that he can dwell in you and he can dwell in me. He can speak through me and he can speak in you. Hallelujah. He became boundless and limitless as a life-giving spirit. And that's what the anointing represents. There were detailed instructions given as to how the anointing should be, the holy anointing oil should be produced. First of all, it had to be concocted after the art of the apothecary. And that word apothecary, the closest English word to it is pharmacist. So that reveals that it is a compound. It's like a drug. It's like a capsule. And just like a pharmacist will mix some compounds together to form a capsule and a drug that is has curative a potency. Are you with me now? God formed that compound. And there were four spices that were mingled with the olive oil to form the holy anointing oil. And they were mingled in certain proportions. And the skillful act and process and procedure of the apothecary was applied in order to make the oil effective and pungent. Such that when you smell the oil, it doesn't smell like your frying oil. It doesn't smell like, there are so many oils in Israel. But this one had to be spiced with myrrh. It had to be spiced with sweet calamus. It had to be spiced with frankincense. So that when you smell it, you know, this is not for frying yam.
This is the holy anointing oil. Are you still with me now?
And it happens to be that those four spices that were added to the anointing oil to make it effective, they have New Testament representations. Because when we talk about myrrh, it refers to his death. Death. Myrrh is a spice used for embalmment. So the Spirit of God today moves with all the strength that is in the death of Christ. He moves with all the strength that is in the resurrection of Christ. Are you with me? All the strength. I don't have time to go into that. I would have broken that. But if we begin to do verse by verse, stop. We'll not go to. So what he meant when he says that your name is like an ointment poured forth. Every time you mention the name Jesus, that the anointing of God, the concentrated presence of God goes forth with the strength and the effectiveness of those spices. So first of all, he kisses you. Then secondly, he brings you into his bed chamber. He's trying to bring you satisfaction inside. Are you with me? Have you ever prayed one day and you prayed through and you were satisfied? Has it ever happened to you? Or if that's happened to you, let me see your hand up. The story of love I want to tell you about. He kisses you to attract you. Then he takes you to his bed chamber to have intimate fellowship with you. To tell you some things that only him can say. That's why the multitude pressed on Jesus. Because there were several things that only Jesus can. And even if you wasted 10 days, 10 hours pressing on Jesus, it was not a waste of time because there were only some things that only him can say. Has he become personal to you? David said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then he now became personal. He just said, I will say of the Lord. When last did you rise up and say of the Lord? When last did your personal experience of God, you fell back upon it and you were armed with it and you rose up with the knowledge of that experience and it became a conviction that you proclaimed to invoke God? Well, let me continue my story. He said he gave the name to his virgins. And the reason why the virgins love him is because when they call his name, it moves in the strength of the ointment. Empowered by the four spices. Now, what is? I hope you know the consequence of the death of Christ. Because it was through the death of Christ that we had the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus is the basis of our purchase. Alright? So when you mention the name of Jesus, the fact that you are purchased is part of what the blood is, of what you invoked. He goes along with the name. And so maybe a devil is laying claim to you that your grandfather sacrificed you to me. He gave you to me. And then he gave your life to Christ. And you mention the name Jesus. A testimony of the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ has bought you is registered before that spirit instantly. Because the holy anointing oil is poured forth with the four-dimensional effectiveness of all the spices with which it is mingled with after the art of the apothecary. The Bible says that it's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Nothing can make alive. Nothing. If you have read history, the great burden on priests and priestesses of the occult has been how to synthesize a potion, an elixir, that can guarantee eternal life. What's his name? Imhotep of Egypt. He was the one that discovered medicine. Even though if you read your history, you will hear that it's an Indian man that discovered medicine, but it's Imhotep. Imhotep. Imhotep was the one that went closest to discovering the secret of eternal life. In his journey for discovery, what he discovered was the secret of embalmment. And he can embalm you, and for 1,000 years you'll still be fresh. Then he now told them a lie that now that his body is fresh, the other thing that makes him walk, that makes him move, he's still alive. That was Egypt's occultic version of the eternal life.
But Jesus said what? It is the spirit that what?
Oh, you don't understand.
Galete manzala. He does what? He makes Allah.
And resurrection. Because, what did I call it?
Sweet calamus.
Talks about his resurrection.
When you call the name of Jesus, it moves in the power, the quickening power of eternal life. And if there's a situation that has died, alright, it comes alive. That's why when you mention the name of Jesus on sickness, that's why when you mention the name of Jesus on the devil, on demons and controlling spirits, he comes and brings the receipt of your full payment. Because the ointment goes forth with all the effectiveness of the spices that was used to make it effective. And so the virgins love that name. Because thy name is like an ointment poured forth. And so whenever you reach out and call upon his name, you see the result of the name. You love him more. There's something in your name. There's something about it. All these things were put in place to draw us closer. Oh, Bakadeba Sateboboria. Yedimandoboske.
When I was 7 years old, demons used to, I don't know which of my ancestors served the devil, but demons used to come. They knew my address. Then in all my faithlessness, when I said, Jesus, you know that Jesus you say, when a demon comes to squeeze you on the you barely say it. Sometimes the saying is not. It's not, you don't, the S is out. Jesus.
But as faint as it was, he carried sufficient power to disperse the hordes of darkness. He said, this name is as if the ointment was poured forth. That's why the virgins, they love you.
I remember one of our mothers that came all the way from Anide. We interpret the gospel to her at the back. And she came sick and we prayed for her and she was healed. And we ministered the Holy Spirit to her and began to lead her in night prayer. Hallelujah. A time came, she became schooled in the ways of prayer. And she became stronger in prayer, almost more than every one of us. In the night time, she lifts up with a tongue. She came one day, I said, because she saw people falling down. And somehow there was a witness in her spirit that this was the power of God. And anytime people are about to fall down, I always say, Holy Ghost. And so she came and said, that Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. I want Holy Ghost. My God. Holy Ghost. Jesus. Makade bobo sandelia. Elamada baskale. Holy Ghost. And she was ministered unto. And began to hold out in tongues in the night time. Hold out in tongues in the daytime. She was almost always praying. Then I realized why she wanted Holy Ghost. There were demons in her clan. When after staying here for 1, 2 months or 3 months, we gave her the belt of a warrior. You know, in wrestling, when you fight and you win, they give you a belt. We gave her a belt. She had won a trophy from Jesus. And she went back to the village. The demons showed up again. And in the night time, she said, Jesus. Can't speak no English, doesn't understand no doctrine, but because thy name is like an ointment poured forth, the virgins love you. Holy Ghost, somebody say Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. No Holy Ghost, her own was Holy Ghost. My God. And he had put all these things in place. So draw. You know, we can't go beyond the first level. Maybe we'll continue next month. Because I have instructions for this night. We'll still continue. Love not the world. I'll show you the 4 levels. And now that you can walk in this world, but you are not of this world. By no standard. And if by any means you God gives you a jeep and you sit on the backside, the vanity in that promotion and upliftment will not affect your heart. It will just be an instrument
to facilitate your agenda upon the face of the earth, and you'll not be living to drive it, but it will be existing to serve you, to become more efficient in kingdom service. And if God wires a million naira your way, you will not build an idol. And I remember an evangelist went to preach in a city, and an old man was blessed. And the man called him to his house and gave him a Lincoln Navigator. Never driven a car before. So he had to hire a driver from the crusade ground, 10,000 to Abuja. And he parked the car in his garage. Somebody that had a problem waking up to pray in the night, he wakes up 3 times in the night. And he comes through the window. You know that the heart, there's an idol. So the devil has made man a wretched being. They gave you a car to ride. You come in the night to check it. And after checking it for 3 nights, he wanted to come the 4th night. And he opened it. And then God said, loud, give this car out. Give it out. Many times Jesus comes your way. And he says, that shoe that you wear, anytime you wear it, and you want to show someone the road, say, you move this way. And he's saying, give it out. Yes, some of you need to go back to your wardrobe and find out the idols there and send it out quickly. I remember the last time I walked into Intercontinental Bank, I had my Mafia Italiano suit on. It's the suit which is here, like, and with my boots. And I just walked in. And when I got there, the whole bank stood at ease. My God. And I noticed everybody's eyes were on me. So I pretended, and I suddenly a limp came out of my left leg, a limp. And when I went to the customer service office, I spoke American English. It blended out of my system, came out. When I was through with the drama and I came outside of the bulletproof door, I knew I had sinned. So I took a I pulled the suit first. Do you love Jesus? I pulled it and gave it out first. And then I laid on the ground till 4 p.m. that day, and Jesus said, stand up. Before I stood up. When you offend God, you just go. You say, the blood is there. I reach out for the blood. The blood of the new and the everlasting covenant. And somebody goes to fornicate. He went with condom. And then came out invoking the blood. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Oh, for the joy of heaven. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Oh, for the joy of heaven. I have to give the suit out. And I laid down. Just as if I had a fracture. All the ventilation inside of my spirit dispersed. I knew that somehow God had put himself in a place that I had no consciousness of him anymore. And it is risky. Makes me vulnerable. But for several of us, Jesus has gone long time. And you are still making do with your plans. You have a supersonic agenda that you have planned to carry out before you are 35. That you have gone half the world by 36 years old. And you stand upon the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem and read the 10 commandments loud. But he looks upon your heart. Rise, let's pray.
Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will die till the day is come. There's not a man like a lonely deed. No, not one. No, not.
Is it true that he's your friend? For the past 3 months, you have been earning salary. You have never gone to pray and said, Lord, how am I going to be spending this money? You already, you have a fixed deposit account. You have already made plans for bam. If you ask the average civil servant, he will tell you that he collected a loan some time ago, that his salary is no longer complete. Find out, what did he use the loan for? Now we come praying passionately. We need the Lord's hand to move. The average believer in our world today doesn't love Jesus. Can we repent tonight? Can we repent? You planned your life without him.
I believe.
Lord, I believe you're the Son of God. Sing it out.
I believe,
yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. Oh, na 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 na.
Church, and he said, I have a few things against you, but thou hast left thy first love. And I looked into the Greek to find out what was the word used for first, and I found it was proton, that first love, that love that initially was in your heart. It drove you around crazy for God. Set you ablaze. Made you have a preference for things for God. Every other thing can come in their own sequences thereafter. And he said the guys had lost the law. Can we pray tonight? Let that first love come again. Let us pray. Make sure the prayer stems out of your heart. No hypocritical statements tonight. In many cases, that love has died. That's why the sacrifice has died alone.
Shendan lenda mana debo sana. Andele presana mano daba. Bale maskane ba jena na na na. Shela mana masego. Ane ne momo sa de maska de na masa de masene. Shani mama nenda masana. Oh, na 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 me na sa na masa na na. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, ah, 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 ah.
Remember when he called you? He said, don't do that. Don't do that. You denied him. Do you see? Remember when he gave you a whisper, don't go to that place. Your life changed thereafter. Can somebody pray tonight?
I need you. I wanna see you, Lord. I wanna hear your voice once again. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, that is your name. need you, I need you, I need you. I want to see your face. I want to tell your stories all about me. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, that is your name. Oh, yeah, na 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 na.
Aha. We call upon your name, O God. We ask for your mercy. Just like the times that you draw us back, you drew us back to yourself in times of old. We call upon you that you will draw us back again.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, that is your name.
Ah, make sure you are praying tonight. We thank you. All right. In Jesus' name. God is going to connect some people back now.
Balenda mesa na na ma malale malale.
Now rise up, put your two hands on your chest. He will do something today. Put your hand on your chest. Put and begin to pray. Rise up on your feet, anywhere you are. Let's do serious business now. Put your hands on your chest and pray. Oh, I see several people. 12 years back. You are still lagging behind for 12 years. 8 years. 5 years.
Oh, 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 oh.
Yelabala. In Jesus' name, I want to pray now. Please let your eyes be closed. Strong one. That is why we came tonight. Oh my God. 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 Oh my God, oh my God. Olomoskadema marakata. That is why we came. That your sons and daughters will be connected back. That will come back from our wanderings. We'll come back from our strains. We'll come back from the lengths that we have gone.
There's a connection going on now. Oh, Namandela. Don't look around. Cry. Sebregede. Pote, pote, malakadeba. Cry. 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 Minor, 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 minor. Whoa. Cry for him. Cry to him. Several people have abandoned their call, abandoned the things that God has told them, and you are just moving around without direction. He will save you. We call upon your name. Call upon your name. We call upon your name. Ay, 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 ay. Shebra da malade. Shebra da malade moskadaba. We call upon your name. We call. The wind will blow now. Some people, you will feel God on your body tangibly. Because God wants to reveal Himself. Shebina koske manabaskadia. Oh, na man, na man, na. Bring that lady for me. Bring her. Na 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 na. Whoa, na 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 na. Ay 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 ay, na man. Let there be a connection. Oh, na man, na man. Through this crowd, so that you can confirm several things. Lift your hands up. Let's pray now. He will pass. Because he needs a people to walk through. Somebody say, I receive. Say, I receive. There ought to be a stronger unction upon your call. One more time, say, I receive. Your eyes closed. Okay. He's here now. Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Alama. Bring them. Alama. Alama.
Yes, a touch.
Alama. Selime. Selime. Rama. Mama. Lama. Sopredama. Oh, la de namaska de ma.
He will pass. He will pass. He will pass. He will pass.
Yeah, la masa de ma. La ba la manakata. No man namaske. La manandela namasala no la basa menana la bala la baka
oh la la bena. Oh my
He will pass. If you call him, he will pass by you. He will pass. And that first love will be rekindled. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He's doing something deep in the heart of man. Draw this one to yourself, oh God. Draw us. Let no one be lost. Oh, 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 oh. He's passing by. Hallelujah. A great storm is about to come. But we have to cut that storm out. There's somebody here. Right now you have left your call. You have left your call now. And you are dying inside. You have violated the principles of the law. And you have left your call. He wants to restore you. But you need to come out and kneel down here and pray. You have left your call. If you desperately want your call back, you desperately want to connect back and start and receive mercy, you can allow pride to hold you there, or you can decide to be humble. But he will show mercy. He will show mercy. You are hooked up. Bring the young man. Bring the young man. On the night of your dedication, when we come back to God, our hearts broken, He cannot but hear our cry. Is Jesus. His name is Jesus. It's Jesus. Don't allow pride hold you back. That after tonight, the song of songs will be restored in your spirit. And when he sings and woos you, be foolish enough to pick the song and follow. For he takes you to a place, he takes you to a holy place. He draws you into the depth of his chamber, that he might whisper to you the things that are not audible. He wants you to handle a realm that you cannot see and touch, and to walk in that realm. The Lord will make you strong in the name of Jesus Christ. His grace will flow over your life in Jesus' mighty name. We trust God to take us to the holy place. Holy place. There is an attitude of the Spirit that the people of the Lord must carry. It's an attitude of how to function beyond the veil. Where we function by ascension. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And every reality that is not factored and figured within that frame of reference doesn't bother you. If you live that way, your life will be an unfolding evolution of the program and plan of God. Everything that He orchestrated concerning you will begin to find expression by figures. Because you are living a life that is within the context of His script. God will take us to a place tomorrow. It's a yonder place. It's a treacherous place. Angels don't dare tread that path. Lions are afraid of walking upon it. But that's a path that He wants to lead His sons. He wants to take His people.
to see the mysteries that are in his reality. Friends, the deep things of life are not in the surface. And there is a language that the people of God must understand. It's not a carnal language, but a language of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible speaks about mutterings that cannot be uttered. It speaks about groanings that can't be interpreted. There is a place where the language has to change, because God will speak by a different tongue. And he wants to teach us the song of the Spirit. When they crossed from the place of Egypt across the Red Sea to the other side of the river, the Bible says that but Miriam took her tambourine and she began to sing one of the songs of Zion. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have been thrown into the sea. And by the time we get to the book of Revelation, there was never an account of the fact that Moses ever sang a song. But among the songs we will sing in the holy hymn book of heaven, I saw one of the songs. God gave us an expo in the book of Revelation, and he called it the song of Moses. Moses never sang a song that is documented in the Bible. But Moses sang songs of heaven. And those songs were documented in the archives of righteousness. And a day will come where the whole clan will sing the songs of Moses. Oh my God. Oh my God. There is a place and a language that God will teach us. When the storms begin to rage around your life, then you speak this language. Then you utter this song. You sing the song of the Lord and pray the Lord's prayer. Then the Lord will begin to drag you out of the mud and drag you from your place that you have been displaced to. And he will crown your head with a diadem and place a turban upon you to cover you from the sun and from the shade. The days of the Lord have come, and he will make himself plain to his people. I want you to rise up with a prayer upon your lips. Take me deeper, Holy Ghost. Now my life will not be figured in the shadows. Take me deeper. Take us to a place yonder. Angels have not been allowed through the portal. Lions have not seen it. The fowls have not scratched by that path. It is a strange place. And I, John, was on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of the Lord. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a sound like a trumpet. It broke into a frequency, a realm that was not in the natural. He saw the likeness of him that is the Ancient of Days. Ah, there is a place that God wants to lead his people.